Right. My next guest catapulted herself onto the South African publishing scene in 2017 with her best-selling autobiographical novel, Bear, The Blesser's Game, which told the story of Treasure, a young woman who heads to Johannesburg with dreams of a glamorous life, only to find herself plunged into a world of sex cults and blessers. The book was an absolute smash hit and earned self-publisher Jackie Pomotse legions of devoted fans. Since 2017, three more books have followed, including two more in the Bear series, and the latest, Bear 3, Ego, in which Jackie explores the issue of human trafficking. The series is the fastest selling series in South Africa, and recently earned Jackie the Adult Fiction Prize at the 2020 South African Book Awards. In addition to her writing and publishing smarts, Jackie's also a businesswoman, social activist and philanthropist, and I'm delighted to say that she joins me on the line now to talk about her career thus far and also what the future holds for the busiest and boldest woman in the South African publishing game. Jackie, welcome.
Good morning. What an introduction. Oh my goodness.
Did you like that?
I was cringing. I'm like, oh my god, this is too much.
No, it's not too much. Don't cringe. You've earned it. You work so hard. It seems, I tell you what, in the South African publishing industry, it's you and Fred Kamalo. I wake up every morning and I'm sure that you guys have got another book out. Every day it happens.
Oh my goodness. I just got addicted. I literally just got addicted. I just found myself going through stories and stories, and I'm like, okay, this will be a good one, this will be a good one, should I add this, should I add that?
Tell me something. I mean, first of all, I must just say congratulations on the South African Book Awards win. I mean, because you were up against some really tough competition, and you scooped the Adult Fiction Prize. Were you surprised?
I was shocked. I just didn't even think that a self-published author would win it. I just thought, oh, okay, maybe my numbers don't add up. And besides, who's really telling these numbers anyway? I just said, no, I don't think so. I really don't think so. I mean, the competition was tough. I have admired Zaxum Da for a very long time. And I was like, there's no way I could ever be on the same pedestal as Zaxum Da. Never. And then, obviously, I had a good friend of mine, Eva Maza, and I'm like, okay, Sex and Stellenbosch,
yeah,
great competition. Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, her writing is phenomenal. But I was quite thrilled to see that, oh, it is possible. You can actually do it. You're not... I always critique myself and I say, okay, who's going to read your book? Come on. Like, you're only, like, 31. Nobody cares about your work. Maybe, like, a small portion of people. But this award just showed that there's an array of people who read my books.
So your book is everywhere. Books are everywhere. And you know what I find so interesting? Because very often, you know, and I for person, you know, have my own interest in what's going on in the book industry. I like to see what I'm doing. What I've been astounded by is that it would be very easy for your book to only appeal to a certain audience, for it to be perceived that your book would only appeal to a certain audience. But up and down the country, at parts of the country that are representative of the country and parts of the country that are not, I'm trying so carefully to choose my words, that your books are still in bookshops where necessarily the people that you might perceive to be your readers are not. Does that surprise you? Or is that just because you're so hardworking that you make sure that they get into all these bookshops?
I think it's a mixture of two. Obviously, sometimes it's about supply and demand. Where are my readers at?
Mm.
But also, the bookstores themselves request. They call in and say, okay, we have had a couple of people come in stores. Is there a way we can get this book in our store?
Mm.
But then every time I see people post on social media that they're in the outskirts of where I am, and I'm like, how
yes.
did that book get there?
Yes.
I didn't know about Zerest. I didn't know about Franschhoek. I didn't know about these other places. I'm like, how did this book get there? But also, the online space is making the books grow so much.
Yeah.
The people that are not in Johannesburg or Cape Town or Durban or like these big metropolitan cities, they're seeing the book online and they're becoming so curious. that, okay, what is really going on with this book? Then you get to see the growth of the new readers. I call them the Bear Nation, or well, they call them the South Bear Nation.
I love that.
And they're like, okay, we need. But it's amazing how far literature can really go if you really work on it.
It really, I mean, you're so right. No, you are so right. It is amazing. I'm always fascinated by where people contact me from all over the world. And I think that is absolutely incredible. How did you even know about this book? It really is something. When it comes to awards, how much value do you place in them? Do you see them as a measure of your success? And if not, how do you measure success as an author?
I think I'm split because I'm still new. So for me as a newcomer, it still means a lot because I know how hard I've worked for it.
Yeah.
And I've literally said, okay, this is your goal. You have to work towards being on some kind of table where you're actually really recognized for the work. And also, for me, it's like, okay, if you can surpass this, so it's like a target for me, if you can surpass this, then you have to do a movie, then you have to do a documentary, then you have to go global. So it's like, okay, I'm in the right route. And I do value them because I don't think that the people who collect these stats or who read my books are invaluable, you know? They make sure that our book sells. So I cannot just completely disregard an award because I feel like it's a benchmark for success or anything like that. It just shows that we are reading, we are acknowledging you, you're doing a good job, don't stop writing. And then you've got the flip side where I say, okay, but if now you've got the pressure of being great all the time. So you can't have a bad book or you can't not write anymore. You can't just say, you wrote the series, and then what's next?
Yeah.
Then you become a one-hit wonder. So it gives you that extra pressure to say, okay, now they really see you, so whatever that comes out next, better be good. You can't now just give up. You can't now expect everybody to think that all the body of work that you're going to release is going to be great, but you're going to have to try harder. So I do respect them very much. And I also do believe that at some point, they made sure that they tally up the scores correctly, you know. So I love them. I still love them. I'm still failing you. So I appreciate any single kind of acknowledgement at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. If you're just joining us, I'm on the line with Jackie Pomotse, who is the self-published author who really just came catapulting into the South African publishing scene in 2017 with the book Bear, The Blesser's Game. The series, the Bear series, is the fastest selling book series in the country. And Jackie's just picked up the Adult Fiction Award at the 20th South African Book Awards, beating off competition from Zakes Mda and also from Eva Matza. Tell me something, the self-publishing game, I mean, that I think for years there's been an awful lot, and this is why I admire you so much. For years there's been an awful lot of snobbery around authors who self-publish, and I think what you're proving is that snobbery is misplaced and unfair. What are some of the biggest challenges for you as a self-published author?
My goodness, it has to be the funding. For an example, to just print 3,000 copies, depending on how big the book is and what type of paper you use and the fonts in the book and etc., the printing on its own is so expensive. You need a good 200,000 to make sure that a book comes out. And when it does come out, you need that consistent capital to reprint all the time. So what we find is that you get to collect, let's say, the first print run, which is maybe like, what, 5,000, 3,000 copies that are worth the value of 150,000, 180,000 rand, depending on how big the book is. And then once that is out, if it doesn't sell, you have lost all that money, guaranteed. Guaranteed, that money is gone. This is now excluding money for editors, proofreaders, designers, lawyers, if you need a lawyer to double check your work.
And you, Jackie, need a lawyer,
yeah,
my friend.
I definitely need a lawyer, so I don't play with that. I really don't play with that. I invest in a lawyer. to make sure that whatever I put out doesn't infringe on anybody's human rights or dignity or any groups or NGOs, maybe like the gay community or the churches or whatever it is. So I definitely need a lawyer, so I have to invest in that. That will be part of my budget when I do my costing for printing or for producing the book. And then also, if you have no business skills, you will squander the money that comes in. So for an example, if your book does sell well and you do get your returns after a while, how long, 6-4 months, whenever your distributor pays, you would think that it's such a large lump sum and you squander it and you buy all these fancy things like iPhones, you go on holiday, you do this, you do that. But then when it's time to reprint, all that money is gone. All that money is gone. You can't reprint or you can't produce another product, which is what our self-publishing authors struggle with, because they print one book and then they sell. And then when it's time to reprint, the book is nowhere to be seen again. Which then becomes such a huge problem for bookstores who are now getting calls about a specific book and there's no print run for the book anymore.
Jackie, would you ever want to sign? I mean, you have hugely successfully published, self-published 4 books on your own. And I imagine that now in the last 3 years, 4 books later, you're getting pretty good at it. Would you ever want to sign a deal with a publishing house, with a Penguin or an NB or a Jonathan Ball? Is that something that interests you at all?
If it's a global deal, I would. Mm-hmm. If it's a global deal, but if it's still South African, no.
Yeah.
I think I've got my audience captured for now.
Yeah.
And I think with the rise of social media now, how I have been marketing my books on social media, I think no South African publishing house can do that for me consistently.
Yeah.
Because it requires hours and hours of being online and creating content and creating conversations. I have Instagram lives, I have a YouTube channel, I've got like stuff. So for a publishing house to invest money in marketing and also invest money in online promotions, that's quite costly. But if it's an international deal, then obviously I'll have to renegotiate my terms carefully. That I'm still in control of the South African market, whereas they can take control of the international space.
And I suppose also the benefit is, I mean, just looking at your social, I mean, you are such a hit on social media, but I mean, if you look at your Twitter, you've got sort of 35,000 followers on Twitter. That's more than some South African publishers have got. I suppose the thing is, yes, they might have the financial clout, but when it comes to marketing, and for those who don't know, the 90% of book sales in South Africa, it's all about the marketing. Once you go to a publishing house, you've then got to share that very, very small marketing department with 10, 20, 30 other authors, 40 other authors. Whereas with you, it's just you working for you.
That's correct. On Twitter, I've got the number that you just announced. And then on Instagram, I've got 48,000.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, that's not to be sniffed at.
Yeah. So I completely focus on my work alone, and I don't even share my platform because I feel like my audience get confused when I start posting other things. Like, I would never post like things like beauty products or anything like that. My social media is literally for literature alone.
That's smart. Yeah.
So if maybe there's an endorsement for something that is in maybe writing, then I would do it because it enhances the literature space. But I completely take charge of my marketing in that sense that anything that comes out has to be directly linked to a storyline, a book, or an event that I'm doing for a specific book or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But also I engage with my audience in that I spend time asking them questions. What do you guys want to know about this character?
Yeah.
What do you think about my writing style over the years? What has changed? What have you picked up? What do you like? What didn't you like? What are you expecting next? How do you feel about certain things that I write about? Are they offensive? What do you want? So I always try to make them feel involved so that I don't lose that audience over time because they're also evolving. They might like my book now, but in 2 years' time, they will say, okay, I'm over this type of writing, or I'm over this author. She's not giving us something new because she doesn't listen to critics.
Yeah.
So I sit and listen to them and have Insta lives with them. I read my DMs. I take their notes. Sometimes they send me screenshots if they find a typo in a book. And they're like, Jackie, did you see in the last page there's a double S somewhere? I'm like, oh, okay, thank you. I acknowledge it. When I reprint, I'll fix it. So that's how I grow it, so that they do acknowledge that I'm actually taking the feedback seriously.
Yeah, it's super smart. It's super smart. You're doing the stuff, Jackie. You really are. I admire your approach so much. We've only got a couple of minutes left. I want to talk about Bear 3, Ego. It's your latest book. And also what else is coming up for you? We've literally got 2 minutes. Tell me in a nutshell, the book and what's coming up in the future.
So the latest book is called Bear 3 Ego. It's a blue cover with a cigar on top. I did that deliberately because a male's ego is so big. And I look at how men in particular, and some women, because the sex slavery trade, including human trafficking and organ sales, revolves around a syndicate of very powerful people. For an example, politicians, business people, club owners, hotel owners that own these places where all these rich people come and entertain their girls and their young boys in exchange for holidays, gifts, or whatever fetishes that they have. So I explore that. And then what's coming in the next, 9 months? It's a completely new book. I don't have a title yet, but the manuscript is almost done, which is
Wow. Exciting stuff.
Yeah, it's almost done. It looks into the psyche of serial killers and female serial killers, especially because we forget that women can equally be as dangerous as men. And I look into that to see, okay, what pushes a woman to kill her children, her husband, her family, in order to get maybe an insurance payout or to get a better life or go into a new marriage? What do women really do to get out of situations? But that is borderline narcissistic behavior, psychopathic behavior, now leading into women serial killers.
Jackie, I'm excited to read it. We're going to have to leave it there. Please follow Jackie on Twitter for details of all that's coming up for her at Jackie Pumotse. It's always a pleasure, my friend, to have you on. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Just a reminder, guys, the books are available in stores. And if you're an online person, Take a Lot can sort you out.